Hi, besties! Welcome back to the Millennial Reset, your millennial mental health safe space. If you're new here, I'm thrilled to have you. I'm your host and your new bestie, Peter Goose, former teacher turned burnt-out corporate millennial, and after taking the past 2 years to just heal, now I'm here in your corner to make sense out of why so many of us are struggling right now and give you some practical brain-based solutions to get unstuck. So there's this famous psychology experiment where they put a bunch of fleas in a glass jar and then they put a lid on the jar. And after the fleas' many failed attempts of trying to jump out to escape, they eventually realize that there's a risk with jumping too high. They'll get hurt. They, you know, bump their little flea heads. So over time, they learn to only jump to the height of the lid. And then what's fascinating is a few days later, they take the lid off the jar. But even with the lid off, the fleas continue to only jump to the height of the lid. They're completely free to escape, but they're now conditioned to restrict themselves to what they've learned has kept them safe in the past. It's basically, you know, learned helplessness, right? And there's a similar thing that happens with elephants in captivity. When they're babies, they get a chain put on their ankle and they try to escape and they pull and pull until they just kind of give in to the fact that this is just how it is. And so this paradigm is formed in this baby elephant's subconscious mind that it is conditioned to believe that it will never be strong enough to break free. And then when the baby grows up into a much stronger, capable adult elephant that's able, if they wanted to break free, it won't even try because it's still trapped inside a mental cage. But this whole idea of conditioning goes way beyond fleas and elephants, of course, right? Because as humans, ever since the day we were born, we're being conditioned. Whether it be by our parents, by the education system, by the media, by society and culture in general, right? And we've learned through analyzing brain scans that we all go through this stage of initial programming from 0 to 7 years old. Your brain is literally in this brainwave state called theta. During this time, which, get this, is the same brainwave state associated with, you guessed it, hypnosis. So we observe and we model the behavior of others in our environment, and this creates the basic foundation for how we operate most of our lives. And yeah, you can always change this, and we're going to talk a lot more about how to do that today, but most people never even become aware that they were conditioned in the first place. We just assume that this is how you do life. We're, you know, completely unconscious to any other possibility that might exist outside of what we learned. It's like, you know, a fish that's lived its whole life in a fishbowl that's sitting on a dock right next to the ocean. There's this more expansive reality that's always there, but our conditioning and programming prevents us from even considering it as an option in the first place. So this is what we're talking about today. Understanding how our conditioning has gotten us here and how to start the process of deconditioning. We are going to get into some pretty nitty-gritty brain science and mind science here, so buckle in, besties. Okay, so what we covered happens during childhood, just like the fleas and the elephants, right? We're programmed by other people in our lives. And this creates the foundation for how you operate on a day-to-day basis. And then somewhere in your late teens, someone gave you that implicit bingo card and the rules to the game of life. It's like society just said, okay, you know, here you go, kiddo. Here's what you can expect to achieve in this life, and here's how to do it. And so this bingo card, so to speak, includes things like buying a house and getting a promotion and retiring in said dream home, right? And the rules were basically just work really, really hard. And if you're not winning at the game of life, then you're probably not working hard enough. And by the way, if you're feeling sad or mad, go cry it out in the corner of your room because mental health is weakness. So out we went into the world, excited to mark off your free space right away and get to work on all of the other items so that you too can have success and happiness. And you play by all the rules. You sign yourself up for the extra work to prove that you're working harder than anyone else in the room. Because again, you know, as humans, and especially as millennials, we want to get that promotion. And how do we get there? Well, we wear stress like an honor badge to show off our enoughness, of course. And so, you know, whether we're doing this consciously or subconsciously, we're all out here competing against each other. Who can get the most work done? Who can hit their goal first? Who's the best of the stressed? We're chained to this mindset and this mentality that makes us believe that the only way to survive and have any chance at getting ahead is to burn yourself out by working longer and harder hours. But we're doing this all for a reason, right? Because we're expecting the prize, the bingo. But then you get to this point that I think so many of us millennials are getting to, where we're still not getting and seeing our efforts pay off. And you feel like, okay, wait a second, like, am I doing something wrong? It's like the goalposts just keep moving further and further away. And maybe you feel like you've missed something in the rules. And so you go back and you say, what am I doing wrong, society? I'm not winning anything besides my, what, participation trophy that I never asked for in the first place. And I'm not happy. And they say, happy? What are you talking about? Happy? The goal of this game isn't happiness. It's safety. It's survival. And then in that moment, it all finally makes sense. Society conditions us not to stay happy, but to stay safe. Not to stay healthy, but safety. And this is oftentimes where the, you know, screw it all moment happens, where we're like, I'm done doing what society expects me to do, and I'm ready to focus on my own growth and happiness. You know, I'm ready to Robert Frost up my life and take the path less traveled. But, you know, I'll tell you from personal experience, this is also where you can get uncomfortably stuck or pulled back into the game. Take it from me, because when I reached this point, I was already so burnt out that I didn't have the mental capacity to come up with a new game plan. So it's a lot easier to just cave in to what you've already been doing, because as much as you may not like it, at least it means you don't have to find the extra energy to create something new and start over. And heck, even though it might suck, at least it's gotten you to where you are. And when I reached the end of my rope with this, I decided that the solution was to take a break. I went down to very minimal part-time hours at my job so that I could figure out what the heck I wanted to do if I was going to take that alternate path. I was somewhere in between like buying a camper van and traveling the country, or, you know, moving to Costa Rica to escape and live off the grid. But I had a dog, and I still do, and he would not do well with either of those situations. So I couldn't just run away. So I was forced to face myself. And that was the start of this ongoing journey for me. The, you know, tough inner work that had been waiting for me to address for the past few decades. I had to take a deep dive into my past. Trauma was resurfaced. Multiple therapists were seen and ditched. And ultimately, it was going down a deep rabbit hole of the science of the subconscious mind that truly allowed me to recognize what it was about my past that was keeping me stuck in that moment and keeping me living in that world of a fishbowl or in a jar or chained up like an elephant. And ultimately, you know, change happens slowly. over the course of several months and years of healing my inner child and reparenting myself for the life that I wanted instead of the life that I was conditioned for. And now the how part of this, right? I'm sure you're all wondering, like, how did you do this? That could be its own season. And who knows? Maybe we'll do that next season. But for today, what I want to share with you is the three biggest lessons that I learned that truly allowed me to heal and decondition myself from a way of life that was no longer working for me. So let's dive in. Number one, this is a big one, letting go of resentment. One of the easiest places to go in your mind when you feel like life has cheated you is to lay blame. And one of the easiest and most convenient people for us to blame is our parents. We tell ourselves, they shouldn't have done that to me. They shouldn't have said that thing to me. They shouldn't have raised me in the way that they did. But just like so many of us right now are trying to figure out, how do we adult successfully? There was no user guide. There was no dummies guide for how to parent for our boomer parents. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here to tell you that your parents are good or bad or, you know, whether they hurt you in ways that were not acceptable. That is ultimately up to you to decide based on your own individual experiences. But I would gander to say that for the majority of us, our parents were just trying to do the best they knew based on the resources that they had available to them. They were making it up as they went, right? And a lot of that came from relying on how their parents raised them. But I think the big, big difference between our parents and generations before and after is that as millennials, we were raised in a world of the 90s, right? Where life looked very different from what it does today. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that this doesn't apply to everybody, regardless of when you were raised, but for millennials, I can't imagine that most people would disagree that as a society, during that time, we experienced some of the most rapid change in our world within just the last 20 years or so, right? Think about it. Like, the way that society operates today is like a complete 180 from the foundational principles that operated our society, you know, 20 to 30 years ago. And again, for the majority of us, you know, not everybody, obviously, because, well, trauma, but assuming that you had a relatively quote unquote normal childhood, your parents were probably just trying to teach you what they thought you would need to know in order to survive and stay safe and be successful based on what they thought your world would look like as an adult. Like, do you really think that our parents had any idea how much the internet and social media and, you know, new technologies would completely reshape how we do things at work and in life? No, like, no way. They were teaching you how to life based on what I would assume to be a commonly shared perspective that, you know, yes, things would change, but the general principles would stay more or less the same. And this gets at kind of this core principle that society conditions you under the limited understanding of what the world looks like at that time, not for the reality that you're going to be living 20 years from now. And again, everyone does the best they can with the resources they have. You know, if they knew better, they would do better. And quite honestly, when it comes to making sure you were happy, most of our parents were probably more concerned with our safety and survival than our happiness. So even though you may wish that they would have done things differently or done better for you, and even though you might even wish that they would be different now, the big question, what if they don't? What if they don't change? And I like to think about this as like walking around with a rock in your shoe. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Like, when you get that pebble in your shoe when you're walking and you kind of just like shake it around until it's out of the way. And then, you know, a few seconds later, it hurts you again. But instead of pausing to, you know, take the rock out of your shoe, you just keep wiggling it around and hoping that it'll magically just jump out. Take the rock out of your shoe and just forgive them. Because when we hold on to that resentment for how we wish someone else would be different, what we do is we give away all of our power to that other person. Our future circumstances are now dependent upon whether that other person changes. And again, what if they never do? Are you willing to honor that choice and love them anyways? And then move on with your life without waiting for the, you know, quote unquote rock to change. And by the way, I'm not trying to compare our parents to rocks, but you get the idea here, right? Forgiveness, as tough as it may be, is sometimes the very thing that gives you back the power and control of your life. So let go of the resentment. And number two, oh, this is a biggie too. Don't get married to the outcome. Because I'll tell you, when you go on this healing journey like I did, one of the first things you start to think about is the goals. You know, I had a goal to create a new career for myself. I had a goal of becoming rich and famous, and the list goes on, right? And I drove myself just about cray-cray trying to focus on these ego-driven goals before I was on the verge of burning myself out all over again and finally realizing that the reason I wasn't achieving any of these goals is because my brain was so stressed out because I was putting all of this pressure on myself to completely reinvent myself in an incredibly short period of time that I couldn't even think clearly, let alone act clearly. And so this is when I came to kind of this painful realization that I had a lot more inner work to do before I was going to be able to confidently and comfortably step into this refreshed version of myself that, you know, I had kind of imagined in my mind. So instead of putting all my focus into making money and achieving these, you know, materialistic outcomes, I just started focusing more on me, being nicer to myself, treating myself to me days where I would just go to the beach or a park and sit there by myself and journal for a while. And then I would take myself out to lunch. I started getting serious about my health, working out more and not eating as much processed food. And I let myself have days where I would just simply rest, instead of guilting and shaming myself for not being productive enough. And I started showing myself more of the self-compassion that I'd been neglecting myself from all those years. And so it wasn't just a goal anymore, right? It was an intention. Intention, right? Intention just has a different feel to it than goal. A goal oftentimes has this concrete outcome where this end point is well defined, but an intention is so far beyond a goal, right? It's like a way of living your life. It doesn't have any sort of defined outcome at the end. You know, if anything, I think the outcome is who you become, not what you become, but who you become. And when you start with the intention of simply healing and taking better care of you, you free yourself from all of that unhealthy pressure that comes with goals. So, you know, I say don't worry about the goal right now. Start with an intention. Focus first on deconditioning from the outdated programming that's keeping you stuck so that it doesn't hold you back from achieving that goal in the first place. And, you know, one of the most amazing things that happens when you stop putting so much pressure on yourself to achieve and produce is that your brain and body can finally go into healing mode and start repairing. And as this happens, all of that energy that used to go to your repeat, fight, or flight response is now made available to the powerful potential of your logical thinking, future planning brain. And that's the thing that finally allows you to find that new way forward. So again, don't get married to the outcome. Start with intention. And number three, this kind of goes along with it. Look for evidence of another reality. One of my favorite stories about the power of the mind is the story of Roger Bannister. Back in 1954, Roger Bannister was the first person in history to run a mile in under 4 minutes. Before that, it was accepted as truth across the globe that it was literally impossible to run a mile in under 4 minutes. The science community was convinced that the human body couldn't handle it. Like, your heart would just, like, explode, right? Until good old Raj came along. And not only did he shatter a world record, but he shattered a societal belief. He ran the mile in 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds. But it doesn't stop there. Because ever since then, there's been a slew of other athletes that have broken the record time and time again. And today, the new record for the fastest mile is 3 minutes and 43 seconds. So, bottom line, beliefs are illusions of repeated perceptions. But perception is just that. It's a perception. It's a highly filtered version of reality based on how your brain has been programmed to process it. But, you know, when we just succumb to the way that our minds have been programmed, we limit ourselves to this shared, accepted truth by society, right? It's just like the fleas in the jar. So assume that there's a bigger, more expansive version of reality beyond what your brain is wired to be able to perceive. Assume that what everyone else accepts as truth is simply just a repeated perception of truth over the course of time based on what was possible in the past. Okay, some might call it getting a little bit, you know, delusional. But I always say, I'm living in a land of Delulu until it's Trulu. Give your brain the opportunity to be open to a possibility that you haven't seen exist yet, whether that be in your own life or even in the lives of others that you compare yourself to. Because what happens here is that when you give your brain this kind of like sneak peek of the future self that you want to become, even if it's in your mind's eye, and if you do this consistently over time, you can call this manifesting or whatever you want, but when you program your brain with the intention of who you want to become over and over again, like I'm talking, start your morning with that mental movie of who you want to become and make it part of your routine. Your brain begins to literally rewire itself. And, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not like you're just going to wake up one day and have it all, right? That goes back to the pressure that we put on ourselves with goals. But your brain has to be able to process your future reality before it becomes reality. Your brain has to be wired for the reality that you desire before that becomes your reality. So you're essentially priming your brain so that it wires itself in a way over time that allows you to think about things differently. And when you think about things differently, you begin to act differently. And when you begin to act differently, you end up getting different results, oftentimes much better than your previous way of thinking. And so, you know, let's fast forward a bit now, right? And all of a sudden, now here you are living out the goals that you had set yourself before, but it's happening effortlessly. It's not you putting all this pressure on yourself to achieve it. It's because your brain is now wired for your intention, and it seeks out evidence to make it more and more true over time. Y'all, life is a game and the rules are all made up. So if you are feeling this stuckness, if you are in this rut like I was, you know, completely directionless and lost and too burnt out to do anything different, I truly, truly hope that today's episode made just a small difference in how you think about moving forward. Because even though there is a lot happening right now in our world that makes it really easy to stay stuck, it doesn't have to be like this forever. And making the type of changes, the empowering changes in your life that allow you to get back to living for you, starts with that person listening to this right now, making the choice to take back the power again, to begin reparenting yourself so that you can begin to slowly strip away all of the conditioning that's no longer working in your favor and start creating your own user guide for life that's based on your intention. And again, there's so much more that we could talk about here. But again, I sincerely hope that these three things are at least a good starting point for those that are looking for some direction on that path less taken. And last but not least, y'all, if you are looking for more support in this whole area of deconditioning and, you know, reprogramming, especially after burnout, be sure to check out the resources on the website, www.themillennialreset.com. You can learn more about my passion project of love, the Millennial Mindset Makeover 30-Day Challenge, or you can just make sure that you follow and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you do not miss out on fresh episodes just like this one. And speaking of next episodes, that is a wrap for today, but I hope to see you all next time right here on the Millennial Reset.